This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5, the best sports strategy games available. You can get them today on Steam. You can get them right from OOTPDevelopments.com. If you can get them on Origin, you can get Out of the Park Baseball 18 on Discord. And if you are an Origin Access subscriber, that's just part of the package. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is our best-selling and really our best version ever of Out of the Park Baseball, and that's saying something considering all the awards that it's won. If you love strategy, if you love sports, if you love baseball, or if you just love really putting the pieces of a puzzle together any way possible, in any way that you want to define it, Out of the Park Baseball 19 is for you. And Franchise Hockey Manager 5 is really something special this year. We've had a tremendous amount of people playing the game and having a blast with it. Franchise Hockey Manager 5 available today on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com. And Out of the Park Baseball 19 available on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com, as well as EA's Origin and Origin Access. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show. Let's do this thing.
You're not Owen, but you're good.
Hi, Rich. How are you doing? I'm here from my bathroom.
Well, that voice, everybody knows, is our great friend, Mills Gaming TV, joining us once again on the Press Row Podcast. Mills, how are you, my friend?
Dude, I'm amazing right now. Like, we're in a very good spot. January is one of those times where, you know, we're getting news on the show coming up soon. Madden is hitting. I'm a huge, like, Madden esport fan. So, like, it's hitting their championship series. There's just really cool stuff going on in January because people are trying to fill that content void after release schedule. So they're getting some creative ideas, which is really cool to see.
What's amazing is that all of this is happening now. 5 years ago, none of this really existed. And now all of our sports games are year-round. They're year-round, or at least more extended length of time, and more people are playing them for longer, which has brought a whole lot of financial reward to the sports gaming, you know, publishers and things like that, which almost sounds kind of like an oxymoron, right? How could you possibly have people staying engaged with a game longer, which means less time with other games, and yet so many figures are going up? But it's a great example of where we are right now. So Mills, with that rambling background, what is it that you're playing right now, right? It's late January. It's the height of football season with the Super Bowl coming up. It's the off season in baseball. It's the hot stove league in baseball, and basketball and hockey are in the mid season. Like, what are you streaming right now these days? What's at the top of your list?
I mean, what am I not streaming at this point? So for a couple months there, I got away from sports games. I think everybody needs a break once in a while. So, like, about a month break around like middle of November to like middle of December. And then now I'm hot and heavy again. I got a Madden franchise. I moved Tennessee back to Houston in the original OG Houston uniform, Houston Oilers uniforms, which look amazing in the game.
Tell me you built a dome stadium.
I did not. I actually did a future stadium with no dome. I purposely didn't do a dome because of the history there. So, I have an NHL because NHL just recently rolled back in a move that I don't think I've ever seen a sports game do. NHL rolled back their tuner all the way to the beta for community testing due to feedback coming back from them, from the community, saying they didn't like a lot of the way the changes were going. Some of the skating, some of the penalties, some of the sticks, some of the puck handling. So they actually rolled it all the way back, and they want the community. They're giving out surveys to see what they like from the old stuff and what they like from the new stuff, and they're going to try to hybrid it. So I got back in NHL, and I'm really enjoying it, especially NHL's franchise mode was such an upgrade this year. And I think I got rolled over because of the gameplay changes. I have an NBA – you never thought you'd hear this. I have an NBA 2K19 San Antonio Spurs franchise getting into the year two of the playoffs. Dude. It's amazing. NBA
2K is spectacular. And I play it every night.
And the thing is, like, last year, I was one of the people that stood up most against it, especially the CPU play. Like, I could not play through a full CPU game without seeing, like, defenders backing off of three-point shooters and stuff for no reason. And 2K19 for me has just been completely opposite. I've been brought in. The offenses look so much better. Shout out to the Czar. And the defenses, Scott OG looks like just, they just look so good this year. And the franchise, I went to my league, not my GM. So I didn't do the full story, although I'm thinking about doing a my GM run through.
You got to be prepared to read a lot.
That's
text.
What I heard. It's not like 4 hours. It's not, like 4 hours of, yeah, of reading. Yeah.
It's massive. Like, I can't overstate how much text it is. It's really shocking. And in fact, it's why, well, the reason I haven't gone back to it, I played a few hours of it, like not just a little bit, a few hours, but I'm having so much fun just playing in the regular, you know, the straightforward, was it my league? Is that the normal thing? I'm just having so much fun just playing the games that I don't really sort of want to have the story going along with it. But, you know, because I'm just love the gameplay. Just play the games every single night against different teams. I have different experiences. I'm playing as the Boston Celtics. They are a spectacular video game basketball team. Spectacular. And you said you're the Spurs, right?
Yeah. And but is there a game out right now, a sports game that differentiates teams as well as NBA 2K does?
Not even close.
You're right. It absolutely feels like you're playing different teams. And the coolest thing is that's really, you know, you could do that for one season, right? And say, okay, these are the realistic teams. But if you play, I played a franchise 4 or 5 years in, and I noticed like coaching changes. The coaches take their offenses and defenses with them. It does such a great job. Like I watched Greg Popovich go for, heaven help us, Greg Popovich go from the Spurs to the Atlanta Hawks. And when I played the Atlanta Hawks, they were running a perfect swing offense. They had players that were built for that swing offense. The defense had like the defense and substitution patterns, everything followed because they're so in depth with coach, like with tendencies. They've done such a great job with tendencies, both on the player side and the coach side, that it's just fantastic to watch a franchise evolve. And that's what 2K does right now that I think has been completely overlooked in franchise communities, because I'm a big advocate for thinking outside the box. A lot of people want to go backwards and add a lot of old school features, like things that were in like Madden 05 or like contracts and stuff like that. Unfortunately, we're at a spot right now with franchise gaming where those things aren't appreciated as much. You have to find some way to bring these newer users in to try to connect them to digital athletes. And NBA 2K does that by not only the storytelling in my GM mode, but it tells a story on the court. And I just don't know how many other games do that right now. And I'm hoping that everybody takes a cue and realizes, you know, like badges in NBA 2K. Badges are the smallest thing, right? You never really think about them, but they differentiate like a 91 overall player from another 91 overall player. One guy can have like a gold dribbling badge while another one can have a gold passing badge. And it actually changes how they play on the court. NBA connects you to the game better. And that makes you want to play more franchise seasons because of that.
The other thing that I have absolutely experienced in NBA 2K19 that I have never, not to this level, is I am dunking and I am hitting threes and I'm executing picks and rolls. I am a force. Now, granted, again, I took the Celtics. They have their starting five is a fearsome video game team because you can beat them down low with Horford. You can dribble around everybody and shoot from anywhere with Irving. You can hit from long range with Hayward, and you can go inside with Tatum, and you can dunk from the free throw line with Brown. It's just they are an astounding team. But I've played with astounding teams on NBA 2K in the past, and I've never been able to have as much fun with dunks and hitting threes. Like, I'm just, and it's not like I've gotten that much better. Mills, right? I haven't, my skills haven't increased. In fact, when you get to, you know, or around my age, your skills ain't getting better, you know, in video game stick skills. They're only going to deteriorate. I think it's just easier. And I'm not, I don't have it on an easy setting. I don't have it on a hard setting. I just have it on the same default setting that I've always played NBA 2K. I'm just better. I'm not that I'm just better. I have much more success in a much more fun way than I ever have in the past. I don't know if that's on purpose. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's me or if it's the game or whatever. I should have asked both the Czar and OG Scott O'Gallagher when they were on. But regardless, I'm just really good at NBA 2K19 and really good at the dunks and the threes and the all the different ways that you would like to be able to be good in a basketball game, which is playing basketball the right way or with the right athletes, you know, and doing the right thing. It's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely think that NBA rewards you for playing not only as the team, but if you play the basketball like the Celtics, which you watch Celtics, like if you understand the Celtics games, you're good. But like, I play the swing. If I play the swing offense, like I know how the swing offense is run, I get rewarded. If I don't, I get penalized. And I agree with you that I think the game rewards much better this year than it had in years past. I think in years past, it was difficult to be difficult. And that's one of these things that video games, especially simulations, have gotten to. And we've seen this evolution over our lives, where games used to be really fun, and then they tried to go for authenticity, and they got really, really complicated. And I think we're finally seeing that turn, where games are like, listen, we can be authentic and still be fun. They created almost this gate of saying, hey, you want to play a sports game, you're going to have to learn a multitude of advanced controls in a lot of the different games. And it got to a point where, again, like you said, it just loses that fun factor at some point. They have to be able to bring that back. And I think that's what you and I are both experiencing with NBA. But I think that's where a lot of people are going to start experiencing over the next couple of years. I really think that's the next focus, is a fun factor being brought back in.
So let's talk about 2018. We've obviously talked about NBA 2K19, which is part of that year's game. So you sort of look back. What's your final word? The final Mills Gaming TV word on console sports games in 2018.
I think it's the last hurrah for strict authenticity and the next step into making not only, again, what I just said, not only like an esports world for everything. I think competitive gaming is getting much more of a focus now. And when I say competitive gaming, things like Mutt are not what I'm talking about. Right now, the MCS that's going on, the club championships, I think that is getting to get more of a focus. But I think at the same time, companies are aware that if you don't bring in the newer users, that the MCS doesn't matter. Like, the people in the chat watch these MCS events, and they don't know how good these players are. So I think the focus is going to be making the MCS better and making the game fun for new users to get in so they can appreciate just how good these players are. I think that's for 2018 is the last bastion of, listen, we're gonna make this huge rounded game cycle, and it's gonna be for everybody. And they're gonna, okay, we're gonna get it for everybody, but we're gonna open up both ends. We're gonna make it really hard for the competing guys, you know, get it, make a competitive atmosphere, but we're gonna open the gate on the other side too and bring in new users.
Do you view that in a positive light or a negative light? Are you happy about that, or does that concern you?
I'm happy in the fact that the more users in these games, the better chance we have these games getting better. What I will say that I'm trepidatious at is that there are a lot of old school gamers that love franchise mode. And I feel like that they have to evolve with the game. a lot of people are, again, are looking for previous generations to make another hurrah. And I don't believe game companies are doing that anymore. I don't think game companies are looking backwards for stuff to add. I think they're looking forwards. And if old school hardcore gamers don't evolve with that, the best advice I have, and I put a version of this on Twitter, but let me clarify it a little bit. You have to understand that games nowadays are fighting everything for time. It's not like the old days where it was, you know, NFL 2K versus Madden. Now it's Madden versus Netflix versus YouTube versus NBA 2K versus, you know, Triple H, who is the head of one of the heads in WWE, mentioned this about their WWE network. He said he's not programming against other wrestling companies. He's programming against things like sleep. He wants you to lose sleep because you want to see things on the WWE network. That's what they're programming against these days. And old school fans of the franchises think that they're just going to be, well, if we give them all these old school features, they're going to beat this other football game. That's not the way it works anymore. You have to be able to bring these fun features in to bring more users. Then you can start worrying about, you know, more users in franchise mode. Now it becomes more of a priority. More users in Mutt. Okay, now we can start doing different things for Mutt. Those kind of things. And I think a lot of the old hardcore guys are going to be very... they're going to be very turned off at first until they see the results.
What are the results?
I think the results at the end of the day are a much more immersive experience for franchise mode. I think franchise mode right now, I'm very excited for the future of franchise mode, because what we're starting to see that NBA started is NBA makes you care about what's going on in the NBA. I don't know that Madden ever did that. I don't know that MLB ever did that. When I'm playing MLB franchise, I worry about my team, but I don't care about my world. When I care about my world, it's me making up my own storylines. I think we're going to start seeing, like, NBA makes you care when other guys are doing on free agency. They make you care when another guy's injured. They, like, because their storylines continuously going back and forth. I think that is the future of franchise mode. I think that future is going to make people want to play longer, want to stay engaged with the mode and continue to go from there. That excites me because, again, as a franchise streamer, I make my own storylines. Imagine if you could be like, hey, imagine draft class stories already started it in Madden, but they let it go. Imagine if you could follow a guy's career throughout and there was like a continuous storyline being shown in the news, or like another team, like even another team, like imagine caring about other teams' guys. I think that counts. I think being immersed in the world of the franchise you are in matters more than some of the older features. Like, don't get me wrong, I want a more advanced scouting system. But a more advanced scouting system is not going to bring new users in. It's going to bring some old users back, but it's not going to bring new users in. So I want to care about the draft system. I want to care about draft picks. And I don't know that the scouting system does that. I think giving storylines about the draft picks does that.
I don't see why we can't have both. And in a lot of cases we do. And I realize this may not sort of toe the franchise line, but you won't find a more franchise mode oriented sports console game player than me, because that's literally all that I do in any of the console sports games that I play, which is all of them. In FIFA, in Pro Evo, in MLB The Show, in NBA 2K, in Madden, in NHL, if I didn't already say that, although I might have, that's all I ever play. And I have more than enough to do, and a lot more than I want to do. I understand that there are people who love franchise modes in console video games, sports console video games, that have lists of things they want to see added. I completely respect that. On the other hand, my goodness, there's already so much there. As long as they just keep having this kind of a franchise mode and every year I can play with the new team or any other team, like, to me, and I'm not trying to make it as an excuse, this is my legitimate feeling, it's fine. And then I want more people to play the game because that just means there's going to be more interesting stuff for me to try and probably not follow through on, but at least give a shot before I go back to my franchise mode. I don't know. For me, franchise mode, they all work just fine. And we don't need a whole lot more stuff. That's my attitude. Is that wrong?
I don't think it's wrong, because everybody plays franchise mode differently. But here's the issue is that I think a lot of people get into what you get into, but you've played franchise mode your entire life, so you push through. Can you imagine giving franchise mode to a new gamer with all of those options?
Well,
a lot of times it's too much. You stated that a lot of times you have too much to do.
That's exactly right.
And a lot of times gamers get overwhelmed. A lot of times gamers will start a franchise, play one season, and quit.
Right.
Because the off season, like MLB The Show is notorious for this. They tried to make it better with UI this year, but it's notorious for this, is getting into the off season of MLB The Show and having literally no idea what you're doing. Right. I still have people, it's January, I still have people come into my stream and ask me how to do the budget for MLB The Show in the off season because it's that complicated.
Yep.
Madden is a little easier because the cap doesn't tend to hit as hard. But can you imagine if it was the tight cap, like it's the actual in the NFL? Can you imagine having to worry about, like, the NFL hires cap guys that, if you listen to them talk, I've listened to a couple of the Ravens guy talk a few times. I consider myself pretty well versed on the NFL cap. He talks way over everybody's head because that's what you have to be to understand the cap, you know, 3 years down the road with some of these deals. I don't know that 90% of the franchise gamers, and I'm throwing that number out as a guesstimate for me, please, I'm not trying to put a number on it, but I don't know that a lot of these guys understand that most people aren't going to use that. And not only not going to use it, it's going to turn them off from staying in the mode.
That's the key. It's not that you can't use it. I know that when I play franchise mode, I just play the games. That's all I want to do. Occasionally, I might make a roster change. But for me, I play console sports games to play the games. That's me. When I say, that sounds so ridiculous, like I'm the world's biggest narcissist. I don't say it that way. I say it because I'm not saying I'm representing anybody, right? I'm not saying anyone else should feel this way. But there's just – it's so much more than – and I love sports and I love sports video games. It's so much more than I want to do than to try to figure out if I should extend the contract – of my middle linebacker and what that's going to mean for my cap for a year from now and 2 years from now. I just want to play the games. And I think there's a lot more people who want to play the games and maybe mess around, you know, and do some roster management, but don't want to get into the fine print of all that. And it turns them off. And that's the point that you hit on. And I think there's a lot more people like that. So my thing is, I'm fine as long as it doesn't get cut. My only concern is that one of these years a franchise mode from a longtime major console video game is gone. That's my only fear. And I'm not saying I'm fearful of that because I predict it's going to happen, but they could leave franchise mode alone. As long as it's there, I'm good. But if it just completely disappears, that would be the, you know, sort of the earthquake. Like, oh, come on. Really?
Well, and here's the scary part. Every year that a sports game moves from a console generation, 360 to the Xbox One, Xbox to the Xbox 360.
I think we need to cue the music right now, sort of the sinister music at this moment.
Yeah, because I'm about to put a worry into some people's heads. every year we've lost something. And that's because they don't like no developer likes to port. They like to bring stuff from the ground up and be able to fix old code as much as they possibly can. There is porting done, but they like to try to fix code. I'm going to bring up NHL 15 because it's the one thing I always bring up. Remember they rushed NHL 15 to get it on the next gen console and it came with nothing. It came with Ultimate Team and that was it.
Dude, not only do I remember, right? This is back before, this was when I was writing about video games for Games Radar. And I went to a bunch of events and interviewed Sean Ramczyk saying, in fact, I guarantee you it is a podcast that is on this feed that we're on right now. It's a press row where I'm interviewing Sean about the upcoming NHL on the next gen consoles. And at one point I asked him, like, so, you know, I assume it's, you know, feature complete like all the other games, like, because they were talking about how the other games, right, like Madden and FIFA, were going to be feature complete with the previous generations. And I said, like, you know, GM connected and all that kind of stuff. And the look on his face was, there was a moment. And then he's like, well, you know, we can't commit to everything right now. We're still, you know, finalizing all the stuff. There's a lot to do. It didn't even occur to me that it wouldn't make it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just an assumption and it didn't. And it's never come back.
Well, and we take it for granted. And I think one of the things everyone quotes Rex Dixon back in the Madden days of franchise mode is the most played mode in the game. Yeah, but how, no one ever talks about how much they've dropped. Like, I feel like users have dropped from franchise mode.
That's a chicken and an egg thing, though, right?
Right. No. I get why are they dropping? Are they dropping because they're losing features? Are they dropping because they wouldn't have used them anyway? Like, I understand that. I fully understand that.
They're competing with their own game is why they're dropping.
Exactly. And for whatever reason, you've got to find some way to bring them back. I'm of the opinion, and this does not mean that the opinion that hardcore features are not deserving to be in the game. My opinion is that you need to, again, connect gamers to the mode. You have to immerse them in the world to keep them, to make them want to play. Now, when I take, obviously I give feedback to EA and I give feedback to Sony. When I give feedback, it's unbiased. Like I don't take that as my number one. So don't let anyone think that I'm pushing agenda to anybody. But I just don't feel like, for whatever reason, that we've lost franchise gamers. I don't know that bringing back advanced back-ended contracts is going to be the way to get them back. And I worry about it constantly because. No, I mean, and to be completely honest, I make money off franchise mode. When I create content, I create franchise content. That's what I do. So, yes, I have a personal investment in making sure franchise mode is good. Am I going to go on Twitter and yell at developers for it? No, I'm not. It's not the way I go. It's not the way I've ever worked. But I do stand up in front of people and tell them this isn't enough when it happens. We need more franchise gamers for people like me and people on the developer side to stand up and say franchise is still a priority. And it's going to take forward thinking to bring those guys back. And I keep using the term forward thinking. Because there is a new console generation within 2 years. And I'm telling you right now, that if we do not get some franchise gamers back, that console generation is going to hurt some type of franchise mode. It might not be in your favorite game. It might be in a different game. Who knows?
Well, I mean, nobody knows their audience better than the people making their games. They know exactly what's going on. They know their user engagement. They know what they play. They know how long they play it. They know a lot about what their customers do. And I got to believe that they're going to make the right decisions based upon the bulk of their audience. And if that means that franchise mode goes, I will be shocked. Because I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think franchise mode will go.
But
I don't think it'll go, but I think it's going to hurt.
Well, what does hurt mean?
I think if you put up card collecting mode and you put up franchise mode and you put up competitive all on a board together, and they're saying, okay, well, we can only get so many features into the next gen. Oh, I think franchise is gonna be on the bottom end of that marker.
But that's my question. You meaning not there or something that is? It's one thing to not add to franchise mode. It's another thing to, you know, to have it barely function. Is that what you're talking about?
I feel like that it'll be there. I think it'll be there, and
that's
it'll,
why I
it'll
be shocked.
It'll be functioning. I think we'll have functioning franchise modes, but. You know, people want all these additions to franchise mode. I mean, how many years have communities, and again, communities can be very vocally minority vocalized, but how many communities have been complaining about franchise mode not getting enough love for how many years? I don't want that to continue. I want communities to be like, hey, man, this franchise mode looks amazing this year. I want communities to do what the NHL community this year. The NHL franchise community went, oh my God, what is this? And it was really good.
What would something be? And I'm not trying to play the fool or be devil's advocate. Like it's a legitimate question, right? Because I don't peruse the message boards or the Reddit communities or the Discord communities of Madden franchise people, right? But like, what are in any game, whether it's Madden or NBA 2K or MLB The Show, what's one or two like big things in franchise mode that people don't have? Like, can you give me an example? Because again, there's so much in these things. What more do people want? But like,
well, I can tell you some of the,
and I know there are some. So like, what are some?
Well, some of the things people have been asking for, like Madden, they want a coaching tree. They want coaches to matter more. Like they want not just the head coach, but they want to be able to hire an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator and have those matter. They want more advanced scouting than they have right now. Like they want to have, you know, they want to be able to run people in the combine. They want to have visits, stuff like that, like NCAA used to have. Like NCAA is put up a lot of the times as, hey, why don't we have something like this? In MLB The Show, like they want an international signing period because it's such a popular thing now since the rise of guys like Shohei Ohtani and guys like that, where, you know, it's another pool of players to bring in. Like they want a lot. They want like contracts. One of the things that people ask for a lot is just, hey, why don't guys have actual contracts? Like, why don't people have like the actual contracts they have in real life? And for whatever reason, I mean, sometimes it's a league thing, but a lot of people want more of that realism in there. And then sometimes I hear people say, well, I just want to care about the mode past 1 year. Like I want a reason to check in. Like I want, if I'm playing as the Ravens, I want a reason to care about what the Raiders are doing. I want, you know what? If I'm a Ravens fan, I want to care about the fact that Amari Cooper got into a fight got an argument with his coach in Oakland, and Oakland eventually traded him, and he actually ended up propelling the Dallas Cowboys into the playoffs. Like he was a big part of that. Like I want to care about coaches on the hot seat. Like what guys are, and you never get that in franchise modes. Now you never get that. Like what's going on around the league. Again, it's a very, franchise modes are a very self-centered way of going about things now.
Maybe that's why I like them so much. It's all about me.
Well, and that's the thing though, is like NBA 2K does that differently, because NBA 2K is like a social media feed. NBA 2K has like players like jokes and like puns and funny things that go on. And for all the shots they took over, like we took so many shots for them over their story, the Spike Lee mode. But for what
I liked it.
But see, a lot of people did because it made jokes and it made
it.
You have fun with the game. Right, exactly.
And I love this year's too. The one they did this year with the dude in China and then playing for the minor league team. Loved it.
Right.
Capital L O V E.
Now, I want you to take that. Imagine having that in franchise mode.
Well, that's kind of what the My GM mode is in NBA 2K, with more text, but still some cutscenes too.
Right, because NBA 2K gets it. NBA 2K understands that they want to have guys.
That long shot? I mean, I know it's not in franchise mode, but aren't you getting that with long shot in Madden in the last couple of years?
Long shot is a very on the rails experience, though. Long shot is, and it's not very like. So I think long shot might have been the first foray for Madden into that storytelling experience. But yeah, like I want that. I want not necessarily long shot because I wasn't a fan of season two. Like I don't want necessarily long shot. I want an immersive world for franchise where my NFL, I get to live out my NFL. Like I want to be able to, you know, like I said, I want to have the Ravens battling the Browns for the AFC North. And I want to care about the fact that the Dolphins, I want updates that the Dolphins are right on my tail. Like I want the fact that Tom Brady is possibly retiring this year. So he's making this awesome run on a team that isn't as good as his normal teams, or Patrick Mahomes is this hot quarterback in Kansas City and they're having a really good year. And you know, he's breaking records. But if I'm playing Madden right now as the Ravens, I get none of that. I know that the Browns are close to me, but I don't know anything about, I mean, I know about Tom Brady cause I can search, but I want a reason. Like if you're playing this year, you see the Chiefs are 12-4, but like, why? Like what's going on? Well, they're 12-4. The Chiefs? Really? The Chiefs? Like what happened to the rest of the league? I want to care. Like I want that. I want that in MLB. God, I want that in MLB so badly. Like I want when Vladimir Guerrero comes up this year. And I know, obviously, you can't have Guerrero in the game until he's in the game. But I want a hot rookie coming up, and I want to have news stories about this guy going 5-for-5 with 4 bombs. I want to have stories about the fact that he could be the next Babe Ruth. I want stories about how this, you know, aging 39-year-old got a perfect game on a team that didn't really matter, but it's like his swan song. They know he's retiring, and just having this magical moment of the fact that he went out with like this in his last season. Like, you don't care about anything but the games. Like, you don't care about the people. You don't care about your draft picks. How often do you get a connection with a draft pick? If they play well on the field, yeah, but what happens if it's a draft pick with, like, an attitude problem? Like, I want to care about franchise mode. I want to feel something. Make me feel something in these modes instead of, oh, I won the Super Bowl. Might as well start another rebuild. That's why so many people do rebuilds now. Rebuilds are the number one content produced in franchise mode because it's overcoming adversity. You know what I want to do? I want to overcome a suspension or a player that doesn't show up. Again, whatever the league allows. I want to overcome adversity on a good team and not just random injuries. Like, I want to just give me something to feel. Give me emotion. You don't get that in any franchise mode outside of NBA 2K right now.
All right. Well, let's switch to a short-term forecast, right? So you're talking long-term, which I'm down with. Again, I'm not entirely sure I want all that, but like, am I going to sit here and tell you? No, Mills, I don't want to really care. No, I do. I'm with you. But I also, I'm a guy who you're talking about there. I just want to play the games and I'm cool with
right
that. But I the best part about what you said is how much you meant it, and I love that, and there's a lot of people like you, which is exactly why I asked you the question. So let's go to short-term forecast. Right, you got MLB 19 the show, you got Madden 20. Are they all 20s now, all the non-show games?
Yeah, everything that's not show is right. 20 now.
So we got Madden 20, NHL 20, NBA 2K 20. That's weird just to say. NBA Live 20, maybe. Give me your short-term, give me your 2019 forecast for all of those games. Not necessarily every single one by name, although that'd be great for that. But, you know, again, just your sort of prediction as to what's happening this year coming up.
I think MLB The Show is going to have a really good year. I think last year was kind of an eye opener for them. They took a swing with Immortals and Diamond Dynasty, and I don't know that it was a complete miss, but it was definitely like a foul pop up. It forced people to care about those cards and not much else in Diamond Dynasty. And it forced people to grind really, really hard against the CPU on Rookie, which is the worst way to grind. And I think they showed that in their end of year programs in Diamond Dynasty. Like, I feel like they learned from that. We're also like Road of the Show is also in its third year, which was what they were talking of their like remake. Which is what they were talking about. They've been talking about for a while. I think that we'll see upgrades to that, hopefully. Because I think Road of the Show is one of their stronger modes, even though it doesn't get kind of the love in our circles as it probably should. I think Madden is so far off right now. And they've been taking kind of hits over their gameplay recently. For that being said, I believe their power-up system was a hit this year on their Ultimate Team mode. I think that they're probably in the same boat. I think they had a lot of eye openers this year, and a lot of the problems that a Madden had on launch this year. I'm not going to give them a complete pass, obviously, but I'm going to give them some attributed to the fact that they went from Rex to Carlos Guerrero to like the new group head of whatever they're doing right now, very quickly last year during production. And that's very tough to do. And to be fair, they've gone through some tragedy and some turnover like after launch too, which affected, I know affected a lot of, you know, their stuff going on. Well, we don't have to get into that, but obviously that affects post-launch schedules. It just does. NBA is such a mystery. Because what can 2K do better? Like, my team could be better, but they have a lot of solo content. Their franchise modes are so good. You just refresh the story on those. I would love to see them disconnect their career mode from the park, because I feel like their career mode is really steep bell curve if you don't pay that initial money to get like up to get upgraded. NBA Live, after that deal, $1.1 billion
there was a B after the B. I'm like, okay, I don't even understand anymore. Like,
so you get to
it's incomprehensible amounts of money.
I mean, I hope NBA Live comes back. I'm fairly certain it will, because I think NBA Live did a lot of good things last year. The problem with NBA Live is I don't feel like it was an NBA game. I feel like it was a basketball game, but it was like a street ball game. Like if you played career mode, it felt like you were playing kind of street on by yourself. If you played their live run, like the live run was very good. But again, I don't feel like it was a very NBA focused game. It got better as the year went on, but you know, I think it was a little too late for their franchise mode is bare. Their franchise mode is absolutely bare. NHL, I think NHL is in a another interesting spot. Like I mentioned this earlier. I've never seen a developer completely roll an entire set of tuners and adjustments back to prior launch. Like they legitimately rolled a tuner back to beta. And that is, it's mind-boggling, but also I commend them for kind of stepping out of that box and saying, listen, we'll give you guys all this stuff that you've been asking for. You tell us what the good mix is. So, and NHL's franchise mode did for me what NBA 2K has almost did. So NBA, for those who don't know, that don't play for NHL, they introduced Fog of War in their franchise mode, to where you don't see anything. You don't see overall ratings. By the way, this is still my soapbox. Get rid of overall ratings in sports games. It'll never happen, but they don't mean anything. So they got rid of all ratings. They got rid of all your draft pick, like all the scouting and everything. And what you do is you have 20 scouts you can hire, and they can either be pro or amateur scouts, and you can literally send them to do anything. You can scout other divisions for like pro scouting, for trading, or just for like scouting reports on what you're going to play. You can scout amateur divisions. You can scout individual prospects. And even when you draft somebody, you don't know their full rating set until they play in the minors for a while or you play as them for a little while. I love that. And I wish that every franchise mode had a complete fog of war option on it. Like, can you imagine drafting guys in Madden and not knowing, like, knowing their raws, their combine stats, obviously, but not knowing anything else until you played with them? It would give you a reason to play the preseason with them, right? So, like, I love that fog of war aspect. So my guess is that NBA Live stays this year, and after that, it just depends on how well they do this year. I think 2K, I don't know where 2K goes after this. I legitimately, but they always seem to find some way to upgrade.
Well, so we've been saying, I don't know where NBA 2K goes after this for years, you know, and they just keep doing it. And they're almost at the point, and sorry to cut you off, but they're almost the point where they could restart. In other words, they could do next year, they could do, or on the next console generation, 2020, when that hits, right? They could just start over with the Jordan Challenge, you know, on times 10, you know, like on the most powerful system ever made. And the year after that, they could do the Legends Challenge, where you have those, you know, 50 teams that you have to, or 25 teams that you have to go through their individual challenges, which was the most fun I've ever had playing a video game ever in my life, was doing the challenges in NBA 2K12 of all of the legendary teams, because you got to play with so many legendary players and it mattered what you did. And all of the challenges were different. It was, to this day, and I'm sure it will be forever, because I don't think I'm ever going to get back to doing Metacritic video game reviews. It's the only video game I ever gave a 10, NBA 2K12, right? They could say, you know what? We're going to, if they announce next year that they've got the next generation of the Jordan Challenge, people will jump out of buildings. They'll be so happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
It's like Jordan. They could run it through again and just make it bigger, better, and bolder. They've got the roadmap. If I were in charge of NBA 2K, that's exactly what I would do.
You ready? The Jordan Challenge. Now introducing Kobe.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Now everyone else that hadn't jumped out of a building just did.
Yeah, because that's the next generation for a lot of NBA fans.
You're so
that's
right.
The next generation of Jordan. Or you could say the LeBron James, because he's gotten to a point in his career.
No, because you got to save LeBron for year three or year four when you have the entire LeBron career instead of just a couple decisions. Which, by the way, another incredibly amazing, underrated mode, the LeBron James mode, where you can play for all the different teams and you can pick where you to go. I loved that.
Right? And no one remembers that because there's so much to do in NBA.
Loved so much.
Yep.
So inventive. Oh my gosh.
I just, 2K, I do not say this easily, like 2K just put out an absolutely wonderful game. And I know that when you play online, I will say this from what I'm speaking, playing online head to head is not my forte, with the exception of MLB The Show. When you hear my comments, when the audience hears my comments, know that I'm talking specifically from a game features mode, from the game modes. On the field gameplay is always going to be one of those things that it's very hard to predict. Because at this point, there's always a meta in gameplay. There's always a meta in gameplay. Power hitting in MLB The Show. It was the run game in Madden for a while this year. It's always going to have an issue. So I'm going to speak specifically from a game mode and feature standpoint, because you can only have so many QA testers, Rich. And the bugs come. And again, Madden was hit the hardest this year with bugs out of the gate. So I think sports games in this upcoming year in 2019, I think MLB learned their lesson. I think we're going to see a very, very good year from MLB. Madden, I want to say it's going to have a better year. Just because they're going to have a full development cycle without changes at the top. They're going to have a full development cycle for whatever a sports game development cycle is. And can't really, I guess, because you really can't call that full, but they're going to have a development cycle with the same people and no distractions. NBA 2K, I'd be way surprised. I don't know what NBA 2K is going to do. I'm still sitting here. I have no idea what they can do, but whatever they're going to do, they've already got a track record that if you're not picking NBA 2K as probably the top of the heap next year,
right,
this far out, then I don't know why not.
I mean, so. it's like, why would you bet against Tom Brady and the Patriots? You just, you know, more often than not, they're going to win. That's, you know, I'm not going to bet against the Patriots until they lose. And they usually don't.
And how many people did this year? How many people have this year so far bet against the Patriots? And they're just like, nope, sorry, Tom Brady's got the ball with overtime. You're not getting the ball back. It's just what's going to happen.
Ah, it's fantastic. Hey, look, at least my Eagles, they won it last year. I'll take that forever. That was right. Amazing. And almost... if Brady wins another one, it almost makes that win last year even better. You know? So
here's the question. Are you a Foles guy or are you a Wentz guy?
I love them both. And I want them both again next year.
No. You can't have both. You're not going to be able to have both of them. No. They're going to get rid of one of the two of them.
No,
I need to know from Rich Grisham right now, what quarterback is Rich Grisham holding on to in 2019?
Both.
No, don't. Oh, I'm not going to let you.
Seriously.
I'm letting you get away with this. I'm letting you get away with this one. That's fine.
Here's the thing. I'm not even being disingenuous. From a football roster management standpoint, Nick Foles is worth the $20 million, and Carson Wentz is in the last year of a rookie contract. There is no financial reason to get rid of Foles. Now, after next year, then it becomes a real situation. But that's after next year. Football is a year-to-year sport like nothing else. Every year is its own complete self-contained season. Keep them both next year.
I'll let you keep Nick Foles, but if the Ravens have that Flacco contract on their cap next year, I'm going to go insane. So you can have the $20 million back
but
at quarterback.
You know what?
Again, I don't need him.
The Ravens... this year were 3 to 4 plays away from being in the second round of the AFC playoffs, right? So can they go another year with Jackson and Flacco? I obviously they're not going to because Flacco's gone. But yes, they can do it again. Like it's people get so caught up in the finances and I'm afraid that the Eagles are too. But like if you just look at it at face value, next year the Philadelphia Eagles can field a championship caliber football team with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, and it can and with everything in the salary cap. And like, why no one? I literally never hear a single person ever say that. Why is that? It's bizarre to me, right? I don't know.
It's because we're all capologists, Rich.
I guess so.
We're running our own franchise mode. See how we wrap that up? Roll it back around?
I love it. So before I do let you get out of here, and I will let you get out of here soon, shouldn't 2019 be the best year ever for sports video games? Like, and I don't just say that because it's the newest season, but like we're at the point where this is a very mature console cycle. The development teams should know the infrastructure inside and out for the PlayStation and the Xbox. But, and we've seen in the previous generation, right? The fifth, 6 years of the games on the PS3 and the Xbox 360 were just spectacular. And we saw it on the PS2 in the OG Xbox. The last year or two of those were the best. That's kind of where we are now. But, and I'm not even being a negative because I love all the games. But shouldn't we be in that halcyon period right now? And are we or are we not?
We should be. And I think, honestly, if you put the game up, my Twitter feed's going to go insane, but it's okay. If you put the game up against older games on the field and like mode wise, I think we are.
I think you're right.
I think a lot of people wear rose-colored glasses when they look back at the last console generation because, you know, it was a very good sports time. And
it was transformational, right? The leap in the last generation was transformational. We didn't have a transformational leap this generation.
Well, and the other thing was, too, is we had a lot more sports games back then. We've talked about this before, but we had arcade sports games back then. We had, you know, we had single-off sports games now. Now, instead of that, we have, like, indie sports games that don't get the same pub because sports gamers aren't really indie gamers. I mean, indie gaming is at an all-time high right now. Like, people love indie games. Games like Celeste got into Game of the Year because of how well it was done. And, like, there are indie games like Blood Hockey. I think it's Blood Hockey. It's like it's got a great franchise mode. It's on Steam. It's like $5. It's amazing. Mutant Football League. Mutant Football League is a great arcade game. Like, they're Super Mega Baseball. We've talked about Super Mega Baseball before. Like, a lot of these indie companies just don't get the play because they don't have a major sports license on them. And, you know, unfortunately, when you lose the major sports license in sports, you have to do something like Pez does. And you have to be so exceptional that people are forced to take notice. I really feel like because we had all of those games in last gen, I feel like that's why people love it so much. And again, it might be the generation of gamer too. The generation of gamer looking back, like, that was what, you know, mid to late 20s, you know, early 30s for some people. Like, it was a really good time to be a sports gamer. And I think the advent of just, and again, I hate this word, I've mentioned this, like toxicity on social media. I think social media in general letting everyone feel like that they have a voice and being able to yell directly at developers or, you know, directly at people. I think a lot of that has leaked its way into video games as a whole, not just sports games. We'll just talk about sports games, but you can only take so much negativity and see so much negativity before it starts to ruin your experience. In most people, I've seen people really get upset over video games that they enjoy because they see everybody else complaining about it. And they're like, am I missing something? Like, maybe the game is really not that good. Like, I'm missing this and I'm enjoying it. And they'll start missing the sliders. I'm a huge slider tinker after I see somebody else mess with them. I really feel like that until we get past that social media aspect of, you know, everybody just, it's so much easier to be negative. We got to get past that before we really have a great sports experience. Now, we're all going to have sports experiences. Like, Rich, you for the most part, social media doesn't affect you as much. Am I right or wrong? When you play video games.
Oh, when I play video games?
Yeah.
No. Don't care. I mean, I care what my friends are saying, but, like, that's you and TJ and Chris and Adam and, you know, but I don't consider that social media. I just consider that people that I know and I like. So I think my answer is still no. If I'm answering the right question.
No, you're right. Because it doesn't affect you personally. But now when I stream, like, most of my video game time is streaming. So many people consume Twitch now and consume YouTube, and, like, that when they see that negativity constantly, it affects them, like, on these games. I truly believe that. Again, my opinion, but I truly believe it does.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I don't do it, right? It's one of the, I mean, I pay attention to social media for professional reasons.
Right.
But personally, I don't dive into it because of exactly what you said. I'll give you a great example. I love FIFA 19. Mills. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love it. I play it all the time. I've finally gotten good at FIFA. I can win. I can score. And I can build a team. If you had told me 5 years ago that I'd be able to go into FIFA and take Everton in the Premier League and build them into a club that wins in my second season, that wins the Premier League on the final day of the season by winning a match and having the team I was chasing, Tottenham Hotspurs, only tie for me to tie them with 81 points at the top of the table, and I win the Premier League because of goal differential, and 3 days later I win the Europa League title, not the Champions League, because I wasn't good enough to get in the Champions League in my first year, but I was good enough to get in the Europa League and win the Europa League. And and that I would have built a team over two seasons, that I would have scouted players across the world and signed players and understood what transfer fees were, and that I would learn how to take all those players and actually learn how to properly make the kind of passes and understand tactics. I'm using tactics, Mills. Using tactics. I love FIFA 19. It's amazing. But the internet tells me it's terrible.
Right?
And it's not terrible, Mills. It's great. And so I quickly learned to stop being told something is terrible that I thoroughly enjoy. So I choose to not participate in those communities because of exactly what you're talking about.
But now you are the exception for most of those rules. No, I will take that back. There are a lot of people that we never even see online communities, but for this podcast, where most of our experience comes from is online communities. That's where most of us come from. So
absolutely.
And if you pay attention to most online communities, most people, it's, like I said, way easier to be negative than it is to be positive. And you see that negativity. And like you said, FIFA's supposed to be a really crap game, right? Or like, you know, MLB was not good this year for online, apparently. Or like Madden has problems with like aggressive catching right now in competitive, or their franchise mode wasn't updated enough. Like I could go through lists upon lists in my head of what is wrong with sports gaming right now. Or I could try to put it out of my mind when I'm playing the game, enjoy what I have, and realize that when you look at what we have, it still is a way better sports game experience right now than it was last gen.
Amen, brother.
And I just wish, if there was one piece of advice I could tell people, is play games for yourself. Don't play games because everybody else tells you to. Which sucks because I'm a Twitch streamer. Listen to me, but nobody else. No, I'm kidding, obviously. We rely on too many other people's opinions to be our own, and I think we lose our own opinion too much, and it affects our gaming right now. So I think that is why it's not looked at. To kind of bring back to the beginning, I think that's why this sports gaming end of this console generation is looked upon in a different light than the previous generations. I just think social media is in a much different place right now. I think the world is in a much different place right now, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think that affects everything. Agreed. And when you really sit back, if you step back and look at it without all of that on top of it, I really do think we're in a better place now and a better place to go forward from here on out.
All right. So I know I had said I would let you get out of here after the last question. I lied. I got one last question, which is really like three questions. But give me your top three from last year. I asked you to bring that to the table, and then I didn't even ask you what they were. What are your top three?
So my top three this year, for me personally, because this is my personal experience, it's definitely different. Number three was NHL.
Nice.
Even with the gameplay issues, the fact that they introduced Fog of War in franchise and the upgrades that they have in franchise mode just blew me out of the park, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to get into franchise mode for them. It's a fantastic experience for franchise mode, and it is a little overwhelming at first, but it is just one of those things that I hope other games take from them and say, hey, you know what? Fog of War's a really good idea. Number two for me this year specifically was MLB.
Nice.
MLB's Diamond Dynasty, like I said, they had some swing and misses, but they upgraded their content this year. It was more consistent, not consistent enough, but they were the first company that I've ever heard come onto a stream and say, don't buy packs in their card collecting mode. And they were right. Like, you get a great team just by grinding. The problem is that they went a little too far, and they grind. There was way too much of a grind this year. Again, they lost kind of the fun out of that. And I think their franchise UI changes made it a little easier for people to get involved in franchise mode, although they have a long way to go with that in terms of making franchise more accessible. And number one for me, for the first time, I think, in the Press Row podcast history that I've put this game anywhere near my top three, much less at number one, one of the largest critics in Press Row podcast history of this game, NBA 2K19 was my number one game this year. And I play my team. I love my team. I love, you realize they give out locker codes weekly for really good cards. And what you do is you put a locker code in my team and it puts up a Plinko board with 8 slots at the bottom, and you have control over what your reward is. It's mind blowing how something that small made me feel like I was in control of a random locker code these days. Whereas before, locker codes were time sensitive, like only so many people could get it. Like that is what NBA 2K does better than anybody. They take a small quality of life piece of thing and just they go, you know what? Let's go out of left field with this one. And here you go. They've done it with my league. My league is so customizable, and it always has been, but it's just so over the top customizable to make it your experience. My GM is a story-based mode that is franchise mode as well. My career is amazing. I wish it wasn't connected to online so you could like have a different progression system without it being so slow and grindy. Their online mode, their park mode is fun. I understand that I don't play that as much, but like, and then their online head-to-head, like I just, it's the most complete sports video game out right now. And I will say one thing that I want to add to the top three. Madden is specifically not there. And it's always been there for me. Madden is the big dog behind NBA 2K. And Madden has to sit down and look at itself this year and say, listen, what did we do? I really believe that they have to become more consistent in general. Otherwise, I feel like that they're going to be looking behind a couple of games next year.
I'm pretty sure they were number 4 in sales this year.
That doesn't surprise me.
I mean, NBA 2K and Madden were the two games that made the NPD top 10.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Madden will, and they always will, and their digital.
I don't know that it always will, right?
Their digital revenue is so insane. If their digital revenue is so good. Yeah,
but this was unit sales. This wasn't digital revenue. Because if it was digital revenue, it would have been FIFA, and FIFA wasn't even on the list. This was unit sales. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong, by the way. I'm not trying to understand you. I'm just like, they still, if it was a bad game, right? Or right. it wouldn't be number 4 or number 5 or wherever it wound up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I'm not saying it's a bad game.
No, I understand.
I'm saying it needs to be more consistent on what it's doing. Like, some of the gameplay updates this year have been very, very iffy and been like they're broken more than they fixed sometimes. So
I'll say this, right? As somebody who has played every Madden to me doesn't feel like it has an identity right now.
I fully agree with that.
FIFA has an identity. NBA 2K has an identity. You know, even NHL has an identity. And you may or may not like that identity either. But at least you sort of, you know, when you think about NBA 2K, you think of swagger and style and whimsy and over the top.
Right.
And when you think about NHL, you think about EA Sports Hockey League and really dedicated grind in competition. And when you think about FIFA, you think about FIFA Ultimate Team. That's what you think about. And FIFA Ultimate Team dominates that community.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like Madden has a identity.
I don't disagree with you. I think Madden is the one sports game that I feel like when they went into the tuning for like arcade simulation and competitive, like, instead of having a game that could do them all, they tried to separate modes like that. Like NHL, if you go to NHL, like they have slider tuning for that. Like NBA, when you change like modes in NBA, like it changes sliders. Madden actually takes physical different dice rolls on the game and changes it. And like I think that it was a valiant attempt.
I agree. Because I can't play. I personally, boy, I'm just citing myself every sentence, I feel like. But I can only play Madden on arcade mode anymore. I don't have fun on sim or competitive.
Well, I remember you and Pasta were doing like a franchise on arcade just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
I feel like that Madden has this competitive community that the game plays differently than like Mutt, because Mutt plays completely differently than competitive in terms of Mutt's like 99 overalls, whereas competitive is mostly like a salary cap draft league or regs for the most part. I feel like the game plays so much differently in different spots that it's hard to keep up. I think it's hard to keep up with each different way that you've got your simulation players that want the game to play like they see it on Sundays. And you've got your competitive guys that want to be stick skill monsters like that. Like, I don't know that you can have that large of a gap between them. And I'm not 100% sure that that's possible. Like even NHL, like NHL is very, if I play sim offline in NHL and I go on and play their like, you know, balanced game mode or their competitive, you know, quote unquote game mode, like, it's really, the gameplay doesn't play that much differently. Like, if I play competitive on Madden, I feel like it's way different than what I'm playing offline. And I think it gates different communities from different parts of the game as opposed to, you know, just having a Madden community.
No, you're totally right. And at the same time, I'm literally thinking that might be exactly what they want to do. Maybe that makes the most sense, is to have three completely separate communities. And again, if they're top four, top five, I don't care what your license is or what your legacy is. People who buy video games are very savvy and very smart. And if there weren't a lot of people who really liked playing Madden, it would not be number four or number five on the list. And maybe they're actually doing it the right way, which is, you know what? We got our competitive dudes. They're going to buy the game. We're going to have just one third of the game be for them. We got our Mutt dudes. They're going to be one third. We're going to dedicate one third of the game to them. And we got our, you know, franchise slash everybody else people. And we're going to dedicate one third of the game to them. It sounds like that is their identity, which is football for everybody. And let's face it, the NFL is still, you know, this was a real bounce back year for the NFL this past season. You know, the NFL to me feels like it's in a much better place right now than it was a year ago and 2 years ago. And I think Madden's success is more tied to the success of the real NFL than any of the other sports games. And I think that's helped as well. And maybe their strategy is the right one, because they seem to be successful, at least from the unit sales perspective. And again, are sales growing? Are they shrinking? You know, don't really know. Regardless, it is a fiercely competitive video game sales landscape. To be in the top 10, no matter what, you know, how much publishing power you have behind you, how much marketing power you have behind you, I don't care. You can't market and license your way to a top 10 game if the game isn't good. Right?
Yep, I agree. The only thing that I would agree that I'm going to disagree with you with, and this is probably a topic for another time. You say football for everybody, right? It's Madden for everybody. Well, except for the people that coming in for the first time and have to figure out how plays work and how controls work. And it's just very gated, I think, in terms of that with the learning curve. And people that play online and immediately play online and get destroyed 60-0 and never touch it again. I feel like Madden needs that spot.
Here's a question for you. Here's a question for you that there is no possible way for you to answer, by the way, just so you know, going in. How many people do you think get Madden every year for the first time and don't have somebody help guide them through it, whether it's an older brother or an older sister or a cousin or a dad or a mom or a friend from school? Right? Like, everybody plays Madden for the first time at some point, obviously, right? Like, that's just, you know what I mean? Like, anyone who's played Madden, playing it right now, at some point played it for the first time. How many of those people do you think were the kind of people who went to a store or were browsing PlayStation store online? It's like, you know, I'm going to click Madden for no reason whatsoever, as opposed to people who were introduced to it from somebody who would then sort of be that guide for them.
I would hope most people learn it from somebody else. But as you say, with the NFL being as popular as it is, I think a lot of people, and this is not me saying that they need competition for everyone that's about to tweet this at me. They are the only NFL game
going. That's true. You're totally right. And the answer to the question is more than zero.
Yeah.
Right? There are people who, of their own volition, decide at some point to try Madden for the very first time. However, I would posit that between the people who are buying Madden not for the first time and the people who are becoming Madden first-time purchasers because they have been brought into the experience by someone in their family or school friend or something like that, and usually at the age of anywhere between 6 and 12, right?
Right.
Because that's when you're going to exhibit an interest on your own or having a conversation with your friend at school, you know, like, hey, do you play games? Yeah, what do you play? I play Fortnite. I play Madden. Madden, what's Madden? Madden's the NFL football. What? Really? Let me go. Like, I have a feeling that it would make no sense to try to, quote unquote, onboard new fans as opposed to trust that the people that are already playing the game would do that for you.
I don't know about onboarding. I think more what I'm thinking about is just I just how many times do you think you could take a new person to Madden and say, hey, let's play this game. It's fun.
Oh, I have multiple times in my life where people at work have told me, dude, I bought Madden for this thing, and I have no idea what's going on. I used to play Madden on the Genesis. I missed it for 10 years, and I got a new TV and got a new PlayStation. I got Madden, and I have no idea what's happening. There have been at least three times in my life where three different people at my work have told me that message.
And I think a lot of people who wanted to play on a PC this year had the same issue. Like a lot of people were excited for it on PC this year because a lot of PC gamers were like, hey, I played Madden back in the day. And just like, we're like, I don't know. I feel like, and it's not the only sports game that suffers from this, but I think they're all missing a fun factor that isn't maybe based in authenticity. And I'm hoping to see that at some point. I don't know if it's arcade style. I don't know what that is for each game. I just, something where I can like bring in anybody, like, and just someone who's just like a casual football fan and be like, hey, let's go play this for fun for, you know, 10, 15 minutes or, you know, whatever. I think Fortnite is really, I don't play Fortnite. I don't like Fortnite, but Fortnite has opened my eyes as to what this generation likes.
You're 1,000,000% right.
And this generation likes being able to play a game where winning isn't the end goal. You can have fun without winning. You can feel okay because, again, shooting is not a competitive thing in Fortnite because there's bloom on every gun. I feel like there is, and you know, some people are going to say, well, that's the, you know, participation trophy. And that's not what I'm asking for. I'm looking for something that just is, if I want to put Madden in for 20 minutes and not an hour, how do I do that?
That's a whole other show.
It definitely is.
Because I want to go down this rabbit hole, but we can't now. But let's go down this rabbit hole in a few weeks. What do you say? You want to come back and we'll do this?
I'm all for it because I'd love to talk about how every game has to find a way to do that.
Let's do it.
Yep.
We're saying it right here, right now. We're going to do it. A few weeks. Sometime in February. Mark it down.
Works for me.
Love it. Mills Gaming, where can people follow you? Watch all of the great work that you do, sir.
Twitch.tv/Mills. It's not Mills Gaming TV, still on Twitter, but Twitch.tv/Mills. It's much easier to be searched. I stream every night at 7:30, except Sundays at 10 a.m. where we play some Madden. or just, you know, say hi on Twitter. Honestly, my DMs are open if you want to ever conversate about anything. A lot of people don't like to go public with conversations. Hey, if you have feedback on any game that I'm involved with, which means Madden, pretty much I can get feedback to any of the EA Sports games or Sony San Diego the show, or even I have some guys over at 2K. We all have some guys at 2K we know and love at this point, which is one of the reasons I think the game is so good. I mean, you're more than welcome to give me feedback that we can try to get over to the game. I'm all about making sports games better. That's all I care about, is just making them better for everybody. So let's do it.
My favorite thing about that is that you did all of that yourself. You created this network. You created the relationships. And that's an amazing feat. Well done, my friend.
Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again real soon.